Hello, friends, and welcome to the Optimized Advisor Podcast, where we focus on optimizing the well-being and best practices of insurance and financial professionals today. On this show, our objective is to help you optimize your life, optimize your profession, and learn from other optimized advisors. I'm your host, Scott Heinola. We hope you enjoy the show. Thank you for... So, Jason Labrum, the one, the only, thank you for tuning in. Tell me a little bit about your firm first. Just let's do the proper introduction. I'll allow you to do that, and then we'll go from there.
RIA only, not affiliated with a broker-dealer. $1.4 billion in assets. High 20s people growing. Love what we do.
Great team of advisors. Great present company excluded, but a fantastic group.
Definitely. Unbelievable group of humans. I love our people.
And it really is.
They care. They really care about client outcomes. They really care about the firm, about making the firm work well. And we are just, I think everybody says this, we're trying to figure out how to, because we all sound the same. All of us advisors sound the same.
Mm-hmm.
We provide white glove service. We do great client service and this and that and customized investment portfolios. But there is a intangible aspect to, I believe, what we do, which I don't know how to verbalize. And normally I'm not at a loss for words.
No.
The feeling that people get and our clients get when they come in, and the comprehensive nature of the financial planning that we do, that's truly integrated and truly holistic financial planning, and the tax planning and tax aspect of what we do is, it is different, right? We have CPAs in-house, so we have our own tax firm as well, but...
Well, I think you said it without setting it, and then we can move on without stating it, you know, explicitly. And that is, first of all, it's the sum of the parts, an incredible group of people that makes up your organization. And that is unique, meaning the people that comprise any organization is unique. That's the recipe of that firm and the culture and the environment and what you breathe, how you recite and speak. And then independently of that, I do believe that more and more consumers, your customers, are wanting a more of what I would say of a one-stop shop in terms of financial planning. And it doesn't begin and end with just investing.
Well said. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and continuing to expand upon that. So, you and I were having an in-depth conversation with your team. Thank you for that. I think you and I both walked away from that saying, you know, that was a very, very healthy discussion on one of our core businesses, which is annuities, right? The distribution of annuities across the country. And more and more, I would say the holistic comprehensive financial planner is certainly embracing this. We're seeing more and more of this as a mainstay in the financial services industry, but you still have the fee-based platform that in some cases is kind of challenged with where exactly do these products fit in our portfolio? There's a lot of, let's just be honest, skepticism around these products through either indirect or direct experiences. So you and I said, you know what, we should sit down, lay it out on the table, the good, the bad, the truth about annuities, and you just lay it on me, I lay it on you, we kind of hash it all out and just talk about, do these products actually make sense? And if so, for who? What are some of the questions, objectives that you see that you have personally? And let's hash it out.
I think you've always been really good at understanding a perspective that goes in opposition, that's in opposition to your core business. And that's hard to do. That's hard. It takes a humble, intelligent, high social and mental IQ person to do what you do, because I sometimes attack it, right? And say, man, annuities are terrible. And I say this to you, and it would be very easy for you to get offended or get upset. But instead, you ask really good questions and you inquire as to, well, why are you saying that? And in what case, like, give me the use case that you experienced that and why did that happen the way it did? And that's unique, Scott. So credit to you on being able to, and Nick to your organization and all the people I've dealt with you that are really open to trying to get through the hurdles that are associated with annuities. And you know that I probably have more than anybody you deal with. It's a love-hate relationship. I love them. And then, you know, when I see
a week later, you hate them.
And a week later, I may hate them, but you know, there's use cases for them for sure. And if you continually focus on the client outcomes and what's in the best interest of that client, and you do it from a financial planning point of view, then I think you can, you know, there'll be times when it makes sense and there'll be times when it doesn't. But the fact of the matter is, when you put in a fixed index annuity that has a guaranteed lifetime payments and you're running true Monte Carlo scenario financial planning, it can be a really useful tool in increasing probabilities of success because you eliminate the volatility that is associated with other asset classes. Even if you have to accept a slightly lower rate of return, volatility, we've been in a space for a lot of years where people think volatility is abnormal. Volatility is supposed to be normal. It's part of investing, particularly in the traditional markets.
Right.
And volatility has real problems associated with it. Mostly investor behavior, which you and I talk a lot about in my book, Financial Detox, talks tons about investor behavior. And
we are our own worst enemy.
I should say we can be our own worst enemy. Yeah, we can be. And clients who pay us for advice, if we're not steadfast in helping them behave in a way that drives successful outcomes for them and higher probabilities of success, then we're not doing our job.
You know, and so what we constantly are up against in our conversations is exactly what you just described in a very articulate fashion of, you know, I call it more the nuts and bolts of, do the financial metrics make sense? And if they do, what are the financial benefits of lifetime income and how does that directly benefit the portfolio or stabilize the portfolio? It helps reduce volatility. The other element that you touched on just briefly is also, you know, it's the behavior of your clients, their investing behavior, but then also the timing of, you know, volatility is directly affected to timing and income distribution. Separate from all of that, which you cannot quantify, is from an emotional perspective, how important is it for the client to receive that income for however long they live? Because all too often the conversations we have is, okay, well, does this financially make sense for the client? The answer to that as it relates to guaranteed income is, tell me how long they're going to live. And then I'll tell you how great of a true investment this really turned out to be. And until the checks stop, you really can't quantify it. So you can't quantify the value of, you know, what truest rate of return did this asset provide the client or the household, you know, husband and wife. And so part of this is that it is that element of the conversation of emotionally, how important is it for you to receive a stable paycheck for the rest of your life? And I don't want to use the word paycheck, but an income.
Yeah,
for the rest of your life during your retirement years.
Well, as long as the company doesn't change the renewal rates and totally start stealing money from you and your clients, and that's a
okay. Great question. Great.
Terrible renewal rates.
Yes.
I won't mention any names. Let's start with an A.
I appreciate that. Well, we still, whenever we go through the alphabet, it is the first letter. Just
that's true. Right.
Don't worry, we'll work our way to Z.
I guess a lot of them start with an A. If you think about it, that's not good.
Seriously, that's probably not good. You know, that's a very important point to make. And you know, here's the issue with that. It's not that those products are bad, in the sense that many of those products, income design products, are not meant to provide competitive rate of return as it relates to the underlying contract. In other words, if I take a stripped away vanilla ice cream annuity that doesn't have all these ancillary benefits, whether it be income or a sexy death benefit, an enhanced death benefit value, we can get significantly better return with no fees and no market risk.
Yeah, however, but
they are what they are.
Yeah, but if I buy a contract, or I lead a client to a contract that has a spread of 2%. On an index that has a historical rate of return of 5 or 6. And 2 years later, that annuity company makes that 2% spread is now a 6 or 7% spread. They've literally made it impossible for me to make money. And that's criminal. Like for an insurance company annuity to be able to take a spread of 2% and take that and make that a 7% spread on an index that averages 6% return, I'm virtually guaranteed to never have a rate of return. So income or not, that's a bad place to be. And those companies should get punished by people not putting any new money with them and taking money out.
Okay, right? Duly noted. You said your piece. I get that. Now let me give you the industry response. First of all, many of these annuities are priced. And hey, don't hate the messenger, okay?
Okay, so this is not the Scott response. This is the industry response. I mean, is this Scott's podcast or the industry's podcast?
So let me defend that for a minute. Just play,
can't.
Well, okay, hold on a second. Okay. So first of all, you're using an example of one index within an index annuity that in many cases has half a dozen, 10, 12, 15 different indices to choose from.
I gotta stop you there because that's the same thing in everyone. In every choice inside the particular annuity that I'm talking about, they have absolutely ripped away the potential for the client to have any rate of return, including a cap of 2% or 1% cap on the S&P 500 annual point to point. That's criminal. You're going to cap me out at 2% or 1.75 on the S&P 500?
Yes.
The insurance company has eliminated any risk they have, and they've transferred it 100% to the contract owner, I'm not saying all annuities are doing this. This is one in particular it's mind-boggling to me every time I get these renewals. Mind-boggling.
So a couple of things there. Now, thank you for clarifying that. So what you did was you expanded on a spread example to essentially saying in a block of business of a given products with a carrier that you sold, what they've done is they've renewed poorly any and all of the indices within that contract so that the underlying contract opportunity rate of return is next to nothing. If you have a cap rate of 2, you probably have a fixed account rate of 1. So
point six or 0.8. Yeah, it's even worse. That's
okay. So let's just criminal. Say the average rate of return might be in the low to mid ones.
Right.
That's the annual rate of return. And yes, so that is an unfortunate situation. Flipping over beyond the accumulated value, what was the purpose of this product or these products? In many cases, and I'm not saying in all, in many cases, those contracts are geared for and built for an enhanced income benefit value, an enhanced death benefit value. And so they're structured in that way. Not defending them. That is a very unfortunate situation where one of the biggest risks of an annuity is the renewal integrity from that of the underlying insurance company. One way to mitigate that is shorter duration. So instead of a 10-year product, you sell a 3-year or a 5-year or a 7-year. That helps to put the control back into the client and advisor's hands because that pool of money will become 100% liquid sooner than 10 years down the road.
Yep.
That's an alternative. Clearly, and you can speak to this probably a little better than I would, in the sense that we were in a zero interest rate environment that was flatlined for well over a decade. we've now seen a significant increase in interest rates. So the products that we have available today on the marketplace are significantly more attractive from a rate and cap standpoint than what we had 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Well, yes. And you, like when I talk about you being able to address real issues, because what I can't stand and what I think most advisors don't like is when you get somebody who believes that their product is just universally good across the board and they can't acknowledge the weaknesses in it, right? There's weaknesses in investing in stocks, and there's weaknesses investing in bonds and alternative investments. So you got to be able to, if we're going to be true consultants to us clients, you advisors, then you have to be able to acknowledge where the weaknesses are, because that's how you get the truth. And what you did with your team is we got on the phone and said, hey, we, this particular product, we don't like, we don't trust the company anymore. We don't like, you know, so we're going to put this money somewhere else. And you showed us several really good examples of ways to overcome that and to move that money. And in some cases, to your point, the enhanced benefits and the enhanced values were so good that you can't even justify moving it.
Correct.
So even though the performance is terrible and the renewal rates, I don't know if terrible is the right word, if the performance is poor.
Inferior, poor.
Yeah, really not even in the past, but really on a look forward basis, the performance looks like it's going to be bad, but yet you have certain benefits that maybe it ends up being okay anyway. Right. I just think the industry has to be more like you and advisors, especially, and the people educating those advisors to think critically about what they're doing when it comes here, when it comes to these annuities. Because if you're focused on the commission or you're focused on just the bells and whistles, it's going to end up probably not a very good product for your client. You really need to think comprehensively about what you're providing and how it fits into the overall puzzle. And even down to the withdrawals. When you start taking money out, are you taking out money in a tax efficient manner compared to the other accounts that the client has and how their other allocations are set up?
Completely. I mean, you touched on some very, so not that it's uncommon or the challenge against the distribution of annuities, you know, the salespeople, whether those be on the retail, you know, the business to consumer side or the business to business side. It's interesting to me that still to this day, and you could probably attest to many advisors in this capacity, is they are just incredibly good salespeople before they are really education-based, knowledge-based, you know, thinking truly what's in the best interest of the client. And, you know, so with all that said, the lens at which we view these products, it really is, to the extent of our ability, through the lens of that of a financial planner acting in the best interest of the client. And what are some of the key metrics and indicators that everybody should be looking at? One, what is the surrender charge schedule, not just in terms of duration, but in terms of number, percentage, penalty? You touched on another very important point. What's the liquidity features available to my customer in this contract? Is it interest only? Is it cumulative withdrawals? Is it 10% free withdrawals? How do they treat required mandatory distribution? So on and so forth. What about medical emergencies? What are the exit strategies within the surrender charge schedule if they were to become impaired health-wise? You know, these kinds of things are very, very important. Now let's talk about guarantees. What are the underlying guarantees of this product? What's the minimum guaranteed interest rate? Does this product, which we have today, we haven't had this in many, many years. What about a product that offers, you know, a cap rate on the S&P 500 and guarantees that the cap won't change for the 5 or 7 year surrender charge schedule, as an example? Those are things that you want to, you know, be aware of and sink your teeth into.
Yeah.
Because it takes the full faith and trust away from the hands of the insurance company, and they put it in writing.
Right.
You know, they're putting their money where their mouth is. And those are the solutions that thankfully we do have today that really do provide better consumer value.
Yeah, shout out to our boys over at the Standard who crush it with that, right? Renewal rates, and they give you reasonable caps and reasonable expected returns. So,
and good liquidity, good renewal history, even beyond the guaranteed cap rates. Great yes. liquidity features yep. for life events and things like that. So yes, thank you. That's one of many examples of I would say quote unquote, good and trustworthy insurance companies. But that's the other beautiful part about our business, just like you do in your world, is you never want to be, you really want to be diversified, even as the advisor, and not yeah. beholden to any one company, because it is an ebb and flow.
Sure. For sure. So how do we dovetail this into the conversation that people really want to hear, like skiing, wake surfing, whiskey, vodka? How does that transition actually take place?
How do you optimize? So we've gone on from optimizing your practice, and now whiskey excluded.
Lifestyle. Your life. Lifestyle, right? That's important.
Let me ask you this question. When I make this statement, less people, more life, what does that mean to you?
It's interesting. Maybe that you dig deeper into the kind of the front row. I use this example of there's only so many seats in the front row of your life, and who are you going to put in those seats? So less people, meaning we're going to focus on that front row, go deeper with them, live a little bit more, have more experiences with them.
I love that. Keep going. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's it, right? Front row of life.
One side of the statement, less people. So to me, that's yeah. exactly where my mind goes. It's not that I don't like right. people.
Keep room for me though, Scotty, because I want to be on your front row.
You are in the front row, my friend.
Yeah, baby, let's go. I need to get out there and see you though, to make sure to solidify really that. I mean, it's insulting. I think it's insulting to you that I haven't been there yet to see you. And that's, I'm sorry. I apologize right now.
Publicly. Especially when you, how far is your plane sitting from you?
I got people there. I got people there. I got to go see my people too, besides that's you.
Exactly right. Plan a trip to
your beautiful family. I want to see your wife more than you, but still fit you in probably.
That's okay. I'm used to that. I will take you out on the boat. We'll go do yes. some wake surf. We don't have ocean surfing here, but we do have freshwater surfing.
Yeah, but it's an endless wave. It never ends. Wake surfing is so cool. You've got a 2 foot wave, 2.5 foot wave that never ends. Surf as long as you want.
Are you good at it? Can you 360 and do all that?
You know what? I'm having a hard time. It's really frustrating because the 360 is I've got a couple of them, but I can't consistently do it. And it's really frustrating. So if anybody can help, please send Scott a message, have him patch it through to me. I need 360.
Are you doing it with fins or without fins?
Oh, I have both boards, and both of them I have kind of the same issues.
Interesting.
I gotta watch some videos. I gotta YouTube this and really go practice.
Okay. What does the other side of the coin mean to you? How do you articulate this more life?
I got a good one for this. Our whole premise at our firm is we help people create true financial peace of mind. And life's short. And I think we have to have a real passion for living and doing things that make us happy. And more life is having the right balance, having work that maybe it's the most fun thing, what you love to do more than anything else, but maybe it's not. But at least it provides you opportunities to do the things that are most important. If your work isn't your favorite thing, I was talking to some people about that the other day, but I think you have to have a good balance. You got to live. I mean, I do a lot of fun things, as you know. Mm-hmm. I love to ski. I love to heli ski. I love to fly planes. I love to wake surf, hunt, fish.
Your family, your boys,
football, church. Yeah, that's kind of more important than everything. But
it really, that's what I was getting to.
Yeah, those are the blocks.
But they're right in the front row. They are the people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my dad used to always say, I love watching you play sports and I love investing in what you're doing back when I was in high school and college and played some low level competitive golf more than I love doing it myself is what he would say. I'd rather watch you or, you know, support you in that than even do it myself. And I always thought to myself, that's just words. Mm-hmm. However, now as a dad with a 13 and 15 year old boys, I can absolutely affirm that there's nothing I would rather do than support them or watch them grow and what they do. They both play sports and are active and pretty high level at what they do, at least from the biased dad's point of view. And having a spouse that you work together in partnership to raise these kids. Yeah. I mean, that's life. That's living, right? Finding the true meaning. For me, it's all centered in Jesus and, you know, my Lord and Savior. And that gives me what is a continually target to try and be better, which I'll never achieve because I can't get there and I continually fail. But at least mm-hmm. I have a goal that I'm continually trying to move forward in. And it's so rooted in the opposite of everything that we inherently, this world is telling us we should care about. And inherently, and I think genetically, we truly, you know, have these selfish desires and motivations that aren't great. So you have to have some barometer out there to try and redirect you onto what is the right way, the real truth.
Right.
That's more living. You got to live, though. You got to love it. Soak it up. I climbed a Half Dome a little while ago. I think I might have sent you a picture. Like, that was living. That's something that's out of my normal realm. And I went with a group of Christian brothers from my church. There was 15 of us or so. We went to Yosemite, and four of us climbed the Snake Dike route of Half Dome. The others went up the back where they hike on the cables, but I'd only climbed like five times. And my buddy Jason, also, he took me up this route. He's a really accomplished rock climber. And man, it was awesome. But just being with guys and people and digging deep, like, there's this whole mental health thing going on with men that's starting to become more acknowledged and recognized. And I think men need to have really deep roots in something that's beyond ourselves, right? That's bigger.
Absolutely.
In relationships where you can get real with guys.
100%.
Expose your vulnerability. And I think when we do that in our work, our clients see that, and we can help our clients realize that too. We talk all the time to our clients about, we can sit and talk about money and investments and all that, but it doesn't matter unless I understand what your purpose is. Mm-hmm. Like, what is your true purpose? And you ask the question in a really cool way of, like, people and time, or what? How did you say it? It was awesome.
Less people, more life.
Yeah. I mean, so what's the purpose? We have all this money, we're investing it. You're worried about the market, you're worried about politics, but really, like, let's get to the point. And when you can peel back that onion and create the vulnerability, then a client exposes himself to you. Now you're talking. Now 90% of your conversation with clients is about them and their life, and less people and more life. And it's not about which investment or this, that. That ends up being a tool you use to achieve what is the real purpose.
Amen to that. Exactly right. And, you know, as I don't know, age, gain more life under my belt, that statement struck and continues to kind of root itself in my mind, in how I think and how I try to manage my life. I think you also said it, you know, you talked around it in the sense that, look, I think all of us as people, as humans, it's not about perfection, but that's the point. That's the beauty of it, is we are all perfectly imperfect. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we're not investing in what resources we do have and intentionally looking to be better, enhance, improve, optimize.
Yes.
We didn't just pull that name out of a hat. And so thank you. You said that very, very well. I couldn't have described that better myself, and I appreciate you very, very much, and the time that you've invested with us. I don't know what other personal insights may we enlighten.
Yeah, right. Yeah, who knows? I mean, that's good stuff, right? When you get to the heart of it, it's hard
I think it's not so easy for firms or advisors to break down those barriers, and they get so stuck in that channel of the investing side of things, the rate of return and the sell, instead of focusing on what is it that really matters to you, because it's not rate of return. That's a byproduct of what it is you ultimately want to achieve and do in life. So let me peel away the layers of the onion and tell me what it is that you really want to do and achieve in life.
Yeah, if you don't do that well, you'll never understand your clients and they'll never understand you, right? They won't trust you because you don't understand them. When they become vulnerable and you understand them, that's when they trust you.
100%. I appreciate the time.
Sincerely. Thanks, buddy.
It's always good seeing you. I wish you were here in person. Someday you will be here and we will have a good time together.
Let's do it.
Cheers to you, my friend.
Open invite for you to come back here too and cool off when you need to.
I'm going to head out the door right now.
Okay, buddy. See you soon. In
a few hours.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate all you do, man. You're awesome. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode. Please subscribe, like, share, leave a comment or review. Be sure to check us out on social media at Optimized Advisor Podcast. Till next time.